The following is a true story, except for the ending, which just hasn't happened yet. This is Escape from Provo Canyon.
Del Mar, California, Highland Shopping Center, like the drop-off loop. There's like SUVs double park around a black rental car, emancipated from like parental controls, like teens spill out, like sweeping through the mall. It's like an adolescent raid. Performative and like, you know, derisive. And the black rental car, like, you wouldn't think anything of it. But like, why would you? Like, I know I didn't. Until I heard it. A scuffle. Two goons muscle a teenage surfer in the back seat. And the car tears off. And I turn. And I see there's a guy, like, mid-40s, like my age, watching the black rental car drive off. And this guy, he looks just lost. And the words, they just like tumble out of me. I'm like, dude, don't do it. Go get him. And for a second, me and the guy, we're just staring at each other. And then he turns and he walks away. And so I'm like standing there just astounded because I know what it is that I've just witnessed. And I can't believe it's still happening. And yet it is still happening. It just happened again, right before my very eyes. And now it's pulling me back. Back to junior year, 1983. Back before everything became so fucked up all the time. My name is Jeffrey Jal Folkerth, a.k.a. Inmate 196, Provo Canyon School. And this is my tale of woe. It's 1983. David Bowie's Let's Dance is just popping off the radio everywhere. And everybody's hunky-dory. My brother and sister at Chico State, so it's just me and Mom in the house in the foothills of the Santa Cruz Mountains. Although I'm a sophomore, I'm really still that little puddly freshman who's pretty good on drums, but, you know, rabidly self-conscious. You know, the guys and girls, everyone in my class, you know, they're rounding the bases. And me, I haven't even got up to bat. I'm neither cool nor uncool. I'm just sort of in soft focus, like an extra in the film of my own life. And I gotta do something. And it's now or never. So when Mom takes off for the weekend with the professor she's been dating, that leaves me home alone. And I'm pervaded with the sense of, like, now is my time to seize the day, to make my mark. But, like, how? And then I'm all, I know. I'll just drain the swimming pool. So I rent like this industrial water pump, 55 gallons of pool water flushes down my street, and like in no time, like my backyard's infested with Saratoga skate rats, you know, carving the pool, grinding the coping. That night I tap a pair of kegs, my band the Blue Beats jams out, and to my delight, like half a Saratoga High shows up, and eventually the police. But walking the halls of Monday morning, my little soiree, you know, it's the fête célèbre, the talk of the town. And just like that, you know, I'm in. Like a bona fide member of the Saratoga tribe. You know, I got my place amongst the surfers, the skaters, the cool kids. And I'm their drummer. And ever since I've been raging, you know, a real piece of teenage wildlife. That epic rager back in sophomore year, those are happening like pretty much every weekend. I'm on a first-name basis with the cops. I'm no longer a drainer of pools. Like, me and my friends, we built this killer skate ramp in my driveway. I got a sound room in my garage and the Bluebies. Like, we're playing all the cool parties. And my house is now, like, the hang spot. It's like Saratoga High's third place. But eventually, you know, my excesses get the better of me, which is why now I'm in this therapist dude's office in Palo Alto. So this dude, he's one of those therapists who thinks he's like a real teen whisperer, you know, kind of chipper, casual, trying to get down on my level. Slang that's like totally suspect, you know, like,
"Hey, Jeffrey, how's it hanging?"
How is it hanging? You know, that's a fair question. By a thread, I'd say, but I don't, not to this guy. How's it go? Like, don't trust anyone over 30. But therapist dude, he presses on.
"Well, word on the street is you've been expelled from Saratoga. Total bummer. Tell me what happened there."
Total bummer. Like, is this like a fucking Chiclets commercial? But alas, it is true. I have been expelled. Too many cuts. You only get 16, and I blew right past that Rubicon. For Matt. You know, Matt, he was one of my favorite from the tribe. Matt was a senior like a year ahead of me, but like, you know, a real soulful surfer with these blonde dreadlocks and sort of like slack smile. Matt coined the tribe's like most sacred utterance. It's like the ayaya. And I think he got it from the specials. Anyways, by like junior year, like ayaya had become this like catch-all phrase from like, yes, I agree, to like general jubilation and like stokedness. So I run into Matt in the halls on the way to biology, and I can tell he's bumming hard on something. And it turns out his dad found his gardening tools in the backseat of his beater Buick and was pissed because the seats were all dirty. And like Matt's like, dude, like lucky he didn't pop the trunk because he would have found all this weed we'd stolen from this grow patch. And I'm like, hey, dude, no worries. Fuck, man. Like fuck stealing weed. Like, we'll do our own grow patch. And like Matt's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, ayaya, you know. And just like that, you know, Matt, you know, he's back to his old righteous self. And like, that's all that mattered. The brother needed someone to hang with, so I cut class, you know, and that did it, and I got expelled. And at that time, you know, je ne regrette rien. I mean, I truly saw it as like the right thing to do. You know, one does not let one of the tribe bum on his own. But like, all kidding aside, you know, I really love my friends, and you know, I'd do anything for them, you know, anything. So since then, I matriculated to Mark Twain, the continuation school for fuck-ups, which makes me a Twain brain. Not a good luck for such an exciting young man, as one of my relatives once flattered me, but I digress. So back at the therapist, dude, you know, this guy's got a melon to shrink, mine to be exact, and so, you know, he's up at it again.
"So tell me, Jeff. Jow, it's Jow, right? So, Jow, tell me, what did you do after school?"
"You know, hang out."
"Hang out? Well, what do you do when you hang out?"
"You know, just hang out." Now, remember, the dude's like, he's well over 30, so I'm doing like my best to be like super uncommunicative. But then again, he's a pro, and he continues on.
"So just hang out. Okay, okay. You guys pop some beers from time to time?"
And of course, I fucking take the bait, you know. I'm like, "Yeah, man, I fucking pop some beers. It's cool, yeah."
"Ah, you guys ever smoke some weed?"
And I'm like, "Yeah, every now and then. I mean, my friends love it. They're constantly stoned. But, you know, it's not really my thing." "Oh, but we do have this, like, purple communal bong called the Cyclops. Somebody stashed it in the neighbor's junipers. And their fucking gardener found it, but he gave it back to us. And so, which is crazy. But now we keep it under the ramp."
"Ah, the ramp. What's the ramp? Tell me about the ramp."
"So yeah, like back in sophomore year, I like drained the pool so I could have this party, but then I had to fill it back up. So then me and my friends, we built this fucking killer ramp and like stole all the wood from these construction sites. Fucking classic!"
"Okay, got it, got it. So we're stealing wood for the ramp and smoking pot out of the Cyclops. Jeff, you ever do any cocaine?"
And I'm like, what, coke? Whoa, hey, okay. You know, we're not talking about beer and weed. We're talking about, you know, hard drugs. But I think again, and I'm like, he's a professional, you know. I'm free to open up here. But I don't know, fuck it. And I'm like, you know, yeah, I've tried it once or twice. I never bought it. Last time I did it was at the show we played in our backyard. And I was racing to the tempo. So yeah, not for me.
"Okay, gotcha, Jeff."
And all of a sudden he flips open a notebook and just starts naming off like what I call periodic table of drugs.
"Methamphetamine."
"No."
"Quaaludes."
"No."
"Opium."
"No."
"Peyote."
"No."
"Ecstasy."
"What's that?"
"Magic mushrooms." "Lysergic acid, bethylamine, LSD."
"No way."
"Heroin."
"No."
"PCP."
"No."
"Banana peels."
"Once in fifth grade." And he's like, okay, that's it for now. I'll be talking to your dad. And I'm like, wait. Talking to who? Back at the ramp, the vibe's like super foreboding. You know, the tribe, they just cannot believe I presented myself like open kimono to this shrink, who apparently is going to tell my dad, like, everything. And Matt, you know, he tries to allay my fears, like, hey, no worry, man, everything's cool, like, you can't say shit. You know, you got that client attorney privilege thing. And I'm like, the dude's a shrink, he's not a lawyer. And besides, dude, I'm like 16, I'm like a minor, like, fucking minors don't have rights. And so I take a rip off the Cyclops, and like the bottom of my stomach falls out. Like, I have this like nagging third eye sense that I've simply said too much. Like, the Kraken awakes. I have awakened the dad. My dad is a heart surgeon, one of the best. And 3 years back, he got an opportunity to start a new heart program in Santa Rosa, which is like this fucking podunk town about an hour north of San Francisco. Me, I was in eighth grade. I just formed my band, the Blue Beats. You know, the baby fat was melting off. Like, I had momentum. So, you know, when my dad called like a family meeting, I was pretty sure he was going to tell us we were moving. So, like, instead of going home, you know, I take off skating. But it doesn't take long for dad to find me, you know, grinding a sidewalk curb and back inside his car. I'm surprised he's not fucking pissed. I wasn't really used to being around him so much. You know, he was always busy operating or playing tennis or something. When we were together, like, he'd try to cram like an entire month of dadding into like a drive to the car wash, you know? You know, like, nice sunny day out. You know, I'd sneeze and, God damn it, Jeff, where's your handkerchief? How many times I gotta tell you? You know, that sort of thing. Back at the house, like, dad, mom, wow, bow, and jow, like, we're all gathered in the living room. And me, like, I'm waiting around for the Santa Rosa shoe to drop. But to my surprise, we're not moving. Dad is. Like, it's a divorce. And I did not see that coming, like, whatsoever. You know, mom, wow, and bow, you know, they're all in tears. But not me and not dad. Like, we're dry-eyed, you know, I guess stoic. It's as if we've heard bad news about someone else, you know. Shame about those folk earths. So, yeah, there's hugs all around. You know, dad probably just wants this to be over with. But mom, wow, and bow, you know, their sadness, you know, it has me freaked. But at the same time, like, I have to admit, like, I'm relieved. Like, I really didn't want to move, you know? And now it turns out, like, I don't have to. So, you know, dad leaves us. He moves to Santa Rosa to pursue his thing. And in the beginning, like, wow, bow, and I, like, we visit every other weekend, which is hell because it's like a 2-hour drive to Santa Rosa, and he lived in this ranch in the middle of nowhere where there's nothing to fucking do. Then, you know, sophomore year rolls around, and Wes and Beth, they're off at college, and the visits sort of fizzle out, and I don't really see him that much anymore. You know, he's simply gone his way, and I've gone mine. And I feel like we're perfectly fine with that. Live and let live, you know? He's practicing medicine, you know, doing hearts, playing tennis, taking flying lessons. And me, you know, I'm left to continue maturing into a fine young adult. Drainer of pools, thrower of keg parties, custodian of cyclopses, or is it cyclopses? I don't know, what the fuck. But yeah, so this stasis between dad and me, you know, it works for all of sophomore year. But then, you know, I get too loose and I cut class and I get expelled and, you know, I devolve into a twain brain. And this catches the ire of the dad. But, you know, I get him. I mean, education's, you know, always been really super important to him. It's what got him past that single room high school in Dark County, Ohio. The one with the fucking outhouse. So, yeah, you know, like, twain brain is pretty fucking bad. But come on, still manageable. I mean, you know, spend a semester in a dunce cap and then right back at Saratoga High and everything's hunky-dory, yeah? But going fucking open kimono on the periodic table of drugs, like how could I fucking be so stupid? So this lapse in judgment, it lands me a seat at the table of the Bowling Alley Summits. So the Bowling Alley Summits are a dad initiative, you know, to sort me out. He drives 2 hours from Santa Rosa to meet me and my mom at Saratoga Lanes, which ironically is the bowling alley where like everybody used to score weed until we started stealing it, which we're not going to do anymore because we're going to do our own grow patch. So anyways, it's just the three of us stuffed in a vinyl booth. The atmosphere is super stilted, you know. Dad immediately takes over and he's like dictating how it's going to be, which is his nature. I mean, he's a heart surgeon, you know, in the OR, everyone's looking to him. There's no collaborating. I mean, like, you don't do a triple bypass by committee. I'll go even further. I mean, surgeons are trained to operate. They don't wait around. Arteries blocked, you know, scrub me up. Let's get in there. Blood vessel pops. You got to think fast, you know, no second guessing. Trust your instincts. And I suppose it's how you want your surgeons, you know, confident, proactive. But as a dad, he could be kind of gnarly. What's his diagnosis? You know, he thinks, you know, my Saratoga tribe are the malignant ones. Which makes me what? Normal? I don't know. But, you know, the implied procedure is like a Saratoga-ectomy. Or rather, it's like a Jowectomy. Like, remove me from the bad influences of the tribe. Set me on a new vector. But that would mean losing my friends, who now are really my family. My friends are my life, so yeah, you know, like, I don't think so. So me, I'm holding fast to my Coke, and for the first time in my life, I stand up to him, which was super scary. I mean, I was only 16. I challenge him, you know, I say no. I'm staying put. You know, I got my friends, and I got my band, and I'm not leaving. And this devolves into a yes, you are, son. And a, no, I'm not. You know, yes, you are. Yes, why? You are. Because I said so.
No, I'm not.
And all this had to be tough on my mom, you know. There she is in a bowling alley with her ex caught in the middle, all because of me. She should be out with the professor, hiking Yosemite. But neither Dad and I were going to budge. And we didn't. So yeah, Dad convenes like three of these summits, each increasingly rancorous, you know. Dad declaring, it's like, oh, son, you're going to school elsewhere, you know. And me, Adam, and it's like, I'm not leaving the tribe, you know. But, yeah, these summits kind of end up sort of like that one up in Reykjavik, the arms control summit where like Gorbachev and Reagan, you know, both leave satisfied, like not having given an inch, but of course not, nothing's fucking accomplished. Christmas comes and goes, and like, I don't really hear much from my dad. You know, with school on break, the question of Jow, you know, the Twain brain has been put on hold. And I have this sense that like things are easing up, which is great because it's New Year's Eve. I'm packing up my drums, the Blue Beats, we got a show, backyard kegger at Matt's, you know, it's gonna be fucking epic. This sophomore I've been crushing on, you know, she promises to be there. But then I get the phone call, and it's Dad. Like, and he wants me to come up to Santa Rosa to come see him. I'm like, you know, like, I can't. I got a show, you know? It's New Year's Eve. And he's like, just come up and just open some presents, and you'll be back in time, you know, to see your friends. And at like, this point, I'm just so exhausted with him. I just give in. I'm like, okay. On the way, I stop in at San Francisco's Macy's in Union Square, where I buy a coffee mug with a Snoopy and a superhero cape and like eye mask that reads Super Dad. You know, seeing that we've been fighting so much lately, like maybe this small gesture will restore the peace. I don't know. Across the Golden Gate Bridge, and an hour later, I pull up to my dad's house, where I don't really see any cars. The front door's open, I let myself in, you know, hello, hello, and there's nobody there. Hello, hello? In the corner, there's this, like, fucking, like, resplendent Christmas tree that there's no way he decorated himself. I sift through a few, like, the remaining presents, you know. Unfamiliar female handwriting, like, is Dad dating again? Like, I don't know. Or maybe it's just gifts from hospital staff, like, he's left unopened. I plop down on the sofa and click on MTV, and Malcolm McLaren's Madam Butterfly video comes on. Angelic voices fade in. You know, a cadence. Oriental marimbas, woodblocks. wavering overhead a harmonica. Sweet and sad. And now Pinkerton's voiceover. A lament.
Back in Nagasaki, I got married to Cho-Cho San. That was her name in those days. When I was her man. I'm going back to visit her.
On screen, she there's these problems. Supermodels like slinking around this sauna.
Cho-Cho San.
And the whole vibe, it's like, it's real sexual, but at the same time, it's kind of eerie, spooky.
Take it away, Cho-Cho.
And I remember just sort of getting drawn in, and my mood is like now matching like the sadness of the music. Because for the first time since I don't know when, I'm out here on my own. No tribe to cheer on my recklessness. Just me and the realization that, like, dude, you fucked up. And now I'm dreading, you know, meeting my dad and having to deal with, what do we do with a kid named Jack? So there I am spacing out, and all of a sudden I feel a presence. And this big head pops in front of me, and it's just this big, like, gnarly adult, huge guy, and I have no idea who he is. And he just says one thing. He's like, Jeffrey? And I look up at him and I go, yeah. And I have no idea who this guy is, and it's a little weird. And then I feel like this other presence, and there's another guy who's like equally as beefy. And I see the two of them trade glances. And then all of a sudden their arms snake under my armpits and they're picking me up off the couch. And at this point, everything sort of slows down in my head. And it's really fucking weird. And I start asking, like, hey, what's going on here? And I'm getting shoved now across the room. Like, who the fuck are you guys, you know? Like, what's going on here? And it's like, Dad, Dad! Before I know it, I'm out the door. I'm like, my feet aren't even touching the ground anymore. And I'm really starting to freak out, you know? Like, who the fuck are you guys, you know? And these guys, the whole time, they're just silent. Where there were no cars in the driveway, now there's just a black rental car that's waiting there. And there's a guy behind the wheel. And the back door is open, and I'm shoved inside. One of these goons comes in and sits down next to me in the back seat. And then the door closes, and we start taking off down the driveway. And I'm freaking out. And like, who are these guys? Like, what's happening? Like, am I getting kidnapped? Did I do something wrong? Like, I have no idea. And I remember turning and looking out the back window as we're starting to pull out of the driveway. And all of a sudden, I see my dad, my stepmom, my brother, my sister, my mom. Like, what's my mom doing at my dad's house? Like, they've been divorced for years, like, all the way up in Santa Rosa. This makes no sense. And they're all sort of waving, and it's not like a bon voyage. It's like a mal voyage kind of wave, you know? Everyone seems to be really sort of somber, and I can even see my mother, and she's crying. And I don't understand what's going on. Like, my mind is racing. Like, am I being kidnapped? And they're left behind to, like, negotiate my release or something? Like, I have no fucking idea. Then we pull out of the driveway, and my family just fades away into the distance. And now we're on the road, and I reach for the door handle, but automatically the locks disappear into the door panel. So now I'm locked in. And we drive about 15 minutes later, and we enter Santa Rosa's airport, which is like a small airport, not for jets, but more for like private Cessnas. And there is one. There's a Cessna sitting with its props in full spin. And we pull right up next to it. And I'm lifted out of the car by these goons and put inside the plane and strapped in. Like, everything is done with a sort of military precision, like very deliberate, like choreographed. And I'm just being controlled. And there's no communication. I mean, I'm shouting, I'm pleading, I'm getting no responses to anything. All they do is communicate between themselves, sort of sotto voce, through hand signals. And they're not letting me in on anything. And so there I am inside of the Cessna, the door shuts and the engines roar. and they've got headphones on, so I can hear the radio crackle in the control tower. We're cleared, and the engine's roaring. Before I know it, we take off, and we're in the air. And once again, internally, I'm just fucking freaking out because I don't know what the hell's going on. Are these guys going to hurt me? Is this because of the Cyclops? Like, I told fucking Matt not to, like, stash it in the bushes. Is this because of, like, stealing weed? Like, did Matt and I, like, steal weed from some cartel dude or something like that? Like, is this, like, some ransom on my head? Like, all these thoughts are running through my head. And, you know, right now it's around 5 p.m. and the sun is setting. And all of a sudden I look out the window and we're over at Golden Gate Bridge. And as we bank east, the city and the bridge and the Pacific Ocean just kind of dip out of view. And we start heading into the night.
Next time on Escape from Provo Canyon.
I just can't believe this. Like, I've really been taken into this room and I can't leave. Like, what is this place? Like, unbelievably, there's no way this exists, but yet I am here. This does exist.